from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning. Happy Fresh Fridays, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Friday to everyone. I hope everyone's day is off to an amazing start.
Well, you know, it's the 11 o'clock hour of Fresh Fridays. And one thing about this show, we look forward to 11 o'clock on a Friday because usually we have a guest. And today we do have a guest, but also at 11:33, Mike Lewis, who is now with GeekWire, is going to join our show to help us understand what happened with the Amazon union vote there in Alabama. But right now, this guy needs almost no introduction. He is wide receiver for your Seattle Seahawks. He just signed a big contract extension, so he's going to be here for a while. Tyler Lockett joins the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Tyler.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man.
We are so happy that you are joining us. We were a little concerned that you might not be able to make it because we know you have a really busy schedule. But before we get to agree to disagree, I want to say thank you. I'm a big fan of yours, and I'm so thrilled about you getting this new contract. How do you feel about it?
I've just been taking it all in, you know. I hadn't really talked about it much just because I wanted to take it all in and kind of just get my life back to where it's always been, back to my normal that I kind of see myself, you know, being a part of. But I think, you know, it's an amazing experience and opportunity. Not too many people get a chance to even get to a third deal. You know, a lot of people don't even get a chance to get a second deal, you know. So it was just trying to understand, like, you know, why God trusted me to be in this situation, how to be a good steward of everything that he's been, that he's given to me. And like I said, just being able to enjoy it and just make it the best that I can.
That's so awesome. And it is a 4-year extension. And I know you're not going to mention it, but it's reported nearly $70 million, which you're worth every penny, in my opinion. I want to ask something, and I know that G always gives me a hard time because I'm always asking about him.
Oh, man, I know where you're going. I know where you're going. Go ahead, Ursula.
I want to know about your relationship with one of my favorite players, and his name happens to be DK Metcalf. You guys have a really special relationship. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing is, like, we feed off of each other, and I think our relationships are great when you allow each other to be yourself and you love each other for who you are. And I think, like, the cool part is, you know, we get to grow together as human beings. We get to grow together as players. And so even being able to meet him the first time I met him all the way until where we are now in our friendship, it's really amazing just to be able to see how he grows and how he evolves as a person. And I think that's the biggest thing is we evolve all the time, every single day, every month, every year we're evolving. And just to be able to see him becoming a better person, I know it's definitely the type of person that he wants to be. And he continues to see himself being whoever he sees himself being in this visual. And so just to be able to be a part of his life and, you know, to be able to have him as a friend, I think it's an awesome experience.
Speaking of growing, does DK need to grow anymore? Because every time I see pictures, what do you think about the pictures out there with you and him standing next to each other?
Hey, you shows one person that was in the weight room and one person that wasn't in the weight room.
All right. Tyler, we're about to have some fun. You're going to be joining us here for Agree to Disagree. Buckle up. Because here we go. It's time for Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Okay, Tyler, I know you are a football player, but I'm going to throw a softball at you to start. So you and your teammates played all of last season. No fans in the stands at Safeco Field. No 12s whatsoever. Let me ask you, as an offensive player, excuse me, Lumen Field, as an offensive player, do the 12s make a difference, or is it easier to focus without them?
Yeah, they always make a difference. When you play in a home game, everything like becomes that much more better because you're at a place where it's familiar territory. The fans are going crazy. You know, you feel like you got all this momentum. And even when you don't, all you need is a big play or a little spark here and there, and the fans are back in it on your side. When they're not there, it's not the same when it comes to home field advantage, but, I mean, you also have to take the advantages that do come with not having fans in the stands. You don't have to worry about people's opinions or what they think because you can literally stay in the moment.
So, basically, you just answered that question the same way Ursula does. You answered both sides, Tyler.
Hey, that's okay. Well, I mean, it's a nuanced answer.
So basically, you're saying, which one would you rather have? Would you rather have the 12s there or the 12s not there?
I'd rather have the 12s there.
Okay.
All right. But I also think the biggest pit, like if it comes to like a teaching tool that you could have came out of when it came to what happened this past year, is that, you know, a lot of people, like, we're great when the lights are on and we have fans there and we thrive off of people being there. But it really taught us that, you know, that momentum and motivation can't come from the outside. Like, we had to play with no fans, so everything had to come inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay.
That's a good point.
All right, I want to move on to another question, and a man that I think you're a little bit familiar with. That would be Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. He's been moonlighting a little bit this offseason, recently took a spot as the guest host on Jeopardy. A lot of people are speculating that he could actually become the full-time host of Jeopardy, which he says he would be happy to do, as well as continue playing football at the same time. Let me ask you, Tyler, would Aaron Rodgers be a good host for Jeopardy?
Yeah, I think he'd be a great host for Jeopardy, of course. I think that's an awesome opportunity. And, you know, the thing about it is when you step into another arena and you get the chance to be able to, you know, to understand what they want you to do, how they want you to do it, you're also bringing your flavor to like what you're stepping into. So I think he'll fulfill that role like in a good way.
You think he could do that while still playing football?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times people be doing all the filming like months before, and if they haven't, then it would just be something where they would just do it all in the off season, so that way it could be able to be ran all the way to when it needed to be ran.
Huh.
Absolutely disagree with you, Tyler, and here's why. You actually brought up the flavor. Did you see that episode of Aaron Rodgers? The flavor was not there. It was like unseasoned potato salad. It was boring. Folks was falling asleep. And even Aaron Rodgers looks like he was sleeping. There is no way he would be good at Jeopardy.
I actually watched a little bit.
There's more fun.
What's that?
It makes the answers more fun and the responses.
All right.
We come to Joe Beth on the end first. You were in third place with 8,400. What did you write down? Who is? No response there. How much will that cost you? $901, leaving you with $7,499. Over to our two-day champion on the end. Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal?
That was the best moment by far.
I have to say, though, he did surprisingly well. I was ready to not like him because he's not my favorite quarterback, mm-hmm. but I thought he did pretty well for someone who doesn't do that for a living.
Hey, Tyler, who on the Seahawks, if you had to choose one of your teammates, who would you choose to do what Aaron Rodgers did and host Jeopardy? Who would you choose?
If I had to choose somebody to host Jeopardy on our team, I would probably go with Russ.
Oh, you know what? That would be pretty good. Do you think he would answer at the every time that somebody answered? You think he'd say "Go Hawks"?
I don't know about that. I don't really watch Jeopardy, so I don't really know.
I'm going with DK.
What is what is this? What is that? That's all I know.
All right, what we got next, Chef?
All right, one sec.
Okay. Obviously, you just signed a big new contract. For a lot of folks, the only contract that they're really going to sign in their life that could really have as much impact would be the one that they do before marriage. People do have prenuptial agreements, but what's on the rise are something called love contracts. They're not financial. Couples decide ahead of time in writing everything from where they'll live, how often they'll take vacations, who they're going to spend the holidays with, who's in charge of cooking or laundry, even how frequently they'll commit to, you know, intimate time. And some contracts even stipulate the amount of weight that each partner is allowed to gain. That part sounds a little bit like an NFL deal to me. But Tyler, beyond wedding vows, should couples put this stuff in writing before they tie the knot?
Nah, I wouldn't. I mean, I think everybody's different. So if they feel like they need a restriction, you know, or they need to do whatever to get themselves to be accountable, that's on them. But, you know, to me, you can't determine what a, like, that's like saying you got to stay looking like this the whole time. You can't change your hair. You can't wear makeup. Or you know, like, you got to let a person be theyself.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just hold them to living under these rules and guidelines, and you're deciding that you're going to call those your standards or whatever. You got to let a person be who they are. Otherwise, you really telling the person that when you marry me, you're going to be in a prison because this is the guidelines that you got to live on. And that's not fair.
As someone who's been married as many times as me, I can't argue with Tyler on this topic. Tyler wins.
Okay, but wait. There is one thing, though.
Huh.
Some of these things do need to be discussed. I don't think that these need to necessarily be in writing, but so often people get married and then they haven't even discussed anything like finances or what they believe in, how to raise children, that kind of thing. But when it comes to...
Well, that's what they were for.
Right? You would think...
Not to cut you off, but...
No, you're
like,
right.
The way that I started looking at it is, you know, like, I look at it as dating should be a study guide. Like, you're not going to get it perfect. Like, there's going to be so many mistakes that take place in dating somebody. But you got to be able to get a study guide, and some people they just need a one-page study guide, and they're good to get married. Some people need 5-10 years of a study guide to see what they're getting themselves into. But, like, it's like you said, like, a lot of us, I read books and stuff, and it talks about, you know, we have these uncommon, unrealistic expectations in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, when you get married, you think it's supposed to look like this, or a person's supposed to act like this. And at the end of the day, it's like, no, like, you have to understand how that person grew up. You got to understand their patterns, their cycles, like, all these trauma, whatever. And then you got to be able to help them be their best self, as well as trying to find a middle ground when y'all get married. So, like, I don't, like, if I don't clean like that, okay, let me work on being better in an area that I might not do as much as she does. You know, but I think there's some things you only can prepare for in marriage. But, you know, that's what a study guide is for, too. You might not be, it might not be on the test when you think it should, but at least you know this person wants this many kids. This person believes in whooping kids.
Right?
This person believes in nannies. Like, this is stuff you should almost know and not get blindsided. Like, we got married. But now you don't want kids no more.
Yes, exactly. Tyler, you are 1,000% correct. And I think, G, you're always joking around, but maybe G did the Cliff Notes version and just went straight for the, you know, try to get the abbreviated version during during dating.
Well, what do you miss out on? What do you miss out on So if you're telling me I can't do something in this love contract and I choose to do it, what do I miss out on? If I can't go past 180 and I get to 182, what am I losing?
Right.
Like, I don't know what you lose out of the love contracts. Like, obviously, I understand prenups and all prenups are different. But, like, you can't tell somebody how to love somebody. Like,
I think you nailed it.
You did.
We've been joking for a while. One of our listeners wrote us in and said we should start making bumper stickers that say, honk if you've been married to G. So he needs a bigger study guide for sure, Tyler. Wise words. All right. Let me ask you, your feeling on a certain type of movies. There's this guy in Florida that broke the Guinness Book of World Records for watching Avengers Endgame 191 times in theaters. That's the equivalent of 52 work weeks. Bro, are superhero movies just simply overrated?
I don't think they're overrated. I just think the hardest part about superhero movies is that they always win. And so it's you know, it's hard sometimes watching a movie when you already know the outcome of what's going to happen. Now, obviously, he watched it so many times, like, that's just crazy. But, hey, he's in the, you know, Guinness World Record book. But, you know, like I said, I like watching movies where, yeah, the superhero wins. But, you know, I also like watching stuff like Money Heist when sometimes it puts you in a place where you don't think the good people are going to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just want to say, Tyler, I've never thought about that part of it with superhero movies. That is a great point. Because you know, going into that movie, of the superhero movie, the superhero wins every single time. You don't know how they're going to win, but they win. That's a. I just learned something right there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's why I like watching stuff that switches it up where, you know, sometimes the bad guys do get away. Like, obviously, I get why they try to do that because you don't want society and people in the world to just think you could get away with anything, you know, but sometimes, like, you know, give us a movie where, you know, the superhero wins, but he might win in the next sequel. You know, he doesn't win in the first sequel. He might have got captured, and now, you know, everybody's sitting there trying to plan how they're going to rescue the person, but you don't really get to see how it all takes place until the end.
I like it. Good point.
You know, like,
Chef, you got one more?
I mean, it's hard. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Last one.
Last one, real quick. I want to know how you do with your diet. So today's Fresh Friday. G or Ursula normally bring in donuts into the office. There are no donuts in here today. They're sorely tempting for me. If someone brings in donuts to the practice facility, are you more grateful to that person or resentful that they're tempting you?
It depends on my mood. Like, it depends on my mood, and I think it depends on the day. Like, if I know we don't really have much to do, I'll go get me a donut here and there. But, yeah, I'm more so of an off-season person. So once the off-season hits, oh, I'm getting all the sweets that you could think of if it's in my face.
What's your favorite donut, Tyler?
Oh, I just, you know, I go glaze. I like chocolate, too.
And you know what, Tyler, why be mad at someone who tries to do a good thing? It's our choice whether we decide to indulge or not. That's what I say. So,
well, as long as you work out, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, for most of us.
Well, I mean, you know, I always thought I could eat whatever and just, you know, but as you get older, you know, I also understand I can't just eat sweets like I did as a kid. So you kind of just game plan. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to eat healthy 3 days or 4 days, and then all of a sudden I'm going to have one day where I just go crazy and eat whatever I want. But, you know, I always try to count the cost. So if I know I'm going to go crazy, then I know that I got to put myself in a position to, like, get that off of me. So whether that's running, lifting, working out, you know, I just try to, like, account for what I'm about to get myself into.
Great advice, Tyler, again. Thank you.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Safe travels. Look forward to seeing you back here, seeing you back on the field in the city of Seattle. The Seattle Seahawks, far and wide, we're grateful to have you on this team. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
That was Tyler Lockett. I just want to say, in that agree to disagree, I've never felt more defeated, if you will.
Why?
Because there, every single answer that he gave, I'm sitting there writing notes. So instead of engaging in my comeback, I'm like, yeah, I can use that in life. Yes, I can use that in life. Coming up next, Mike Lewis joins the G and Ursa Show.
the G. and Ursula Show, Friday edition. An important election was held in Alabama, and the results are now in. Amazon won. The company defeated the unionization drive at one of its Alabama warehouses. And our former colleague, Mike Lewis, has been tracking this story for his new employer, GeekWire, and he joins us live now. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ursula. How are you doing?
Good. We miss you. We love having you back on the show.
Miss you guys, too.
Okay.
I was telling Andrew earlier, the whole reason I did this story was just so you guys would lure me back and talk to me on the show.
You knew we would. I heard you were eating. Well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but anyway, thanks for the tip off, too. Okay. But anyway, so what happened? So was it even close?
No, it wasn't close. I actually listened to the live vote count yesterday from the National Labor Relations Board is in charge of these sort of elections, did the count in Birmingham, Alabama, just about 20 miles from Bessemer. And right away, it was one yes, five no's, one yes, three no's, one yes, you know, a whole series of no's. And it was pretty clear from the first 200 votes. That it was going to be a steep path for the union to win, and it turns out they didn't even get close. It finished up at maybe almost 3-1 against.
And Mike, this happened in Alabama, so why should we care over here? This was so important to Amazon, right? But also to organized labor.
Oh, absolutely. No, this was definitely seen as a bellwether. Like, can in modern America, can the current workforce be compelled to feel like they need a union representation? And in Alabama, a place where folks are making $15 an hour, while that's not bad, $15 an hour in Bessemer certainly goes a lot farther than it does in Seattle. $15 an hour still with benefits, it still is less than what other warehouse jobs that are unionized in Alabama actually pay, about $2 an hour less. So there was reasons to organize, but I think people in some areas are genuinely afraid that a company will either reduce the number of jobs or pull out entirely. And Amazon has shown that it's pretty aggressively anti-union, and I think that they had the employees a bit scared to organize. And so what does this mean nationally? Well, I think that for folks who thought that it was going to be the first domino in a line of 100 Amazon fulfillment centers that could be organized, I would say that it turns out it's not that, but I don't think the union is going away.
First of all, Mike, good to have you back on, brother. Love it.
Thank you. Good to be here. Man.
All right. So here's one thing that we can all agree on with Amazon. Amazon does most things for the best interests of those here in the United States of America. So much so that I saw this tweet that I sent to you. The More Perfect Union had obtained emails showing that Amazon privately pressured USPS to install ballot drop boxes kind of close so that people can vote right away. Was that in the best interest for people so you can make it easier for them to vote, Mike?
Well, maybe easier for them to vote no. What Amazon did, in fact, this is actually, I'm glad you bring that up, because this is going to be essentially the load-bearing pillar in the union's dispute of this election. They felt like Amazon kept trying to put the people, the voting capacity, either through a USPS mailbox or a Dropbox, right in front of Amazon, where they would effectively be under security cameras while they're voting. And the people who were voting in favor of the union were very, very worried about reprisals. And honestly, the people who are voting against the union maybe had friends who were voting for it, and they didn't want people to know how they were voting. And so it was seen as an intimidation tactic by the union itself. And so that is going to actually be what they're protesting, because they did manage to convince the USPS to put a mailbox right at the Amazon entrance, ostensibly under the idea that people could use it to vote. But it really, I think, the deeper intent was something that was not likely to encourage votes.
Hey, Mike, we're going to switch gears here because, as many people know, you are on your off hours, if there's such a thing. You also own a bar in Lower mm-hmm. Queen Anne, and you've heard the governor say we might have to roll back to phase two. What would that do to you?
Well, you know, it obviously it hurts. I think for us, if it is, and remember, they've been sort of like monkeying with the phases a little bit in terms of the state, what does that phase standard mean? But I think for us, if we are, we never went beyond operating at 25% capacity. So what they could do is reduce the hours that you can actually sell alcohol, and we're a bar, and that's what we do. So that would have more harm than any sort of capacity reduction, because we're a small place, and so it's difficult to get people at 6 feet apart and go to 50%. So we just elected to stay at 25% because that's really effectively all we can do. The fewer hours will definitely have an economic impact, but like I told everyone, and when I was at Cairo, what I said on the air frequently is, it is not a progression toward full open. This can backslide, I mean, depending on the infection rate. And so all of our people, the nice thing is, I guess the good news for us is that 100% of the staff is now vaccinated. So that's great.
I'm trying
to focus on that and not think about the fact that we still have a pathway to go before we're out of this.
Mike, what's one of the biggest things you miss about coming into Cairo every day?
You know, it's funny. What I missed was this, and actually specifically because I saw this on Twitter. I got a question for you, G. Did Dre's actually use the term side piece on air?
Yep.
And then my second question is, did you not know what that meant?
Yes, I knew what that meant.
I think she was trying to move it along.
It was my inner Ursula. Say, Mike, let me explain. This is why I don't like Ursula gone. I love to be the one that goes wild like crazy and says anything, and then Ursula reins me back in. But when I am that Ursula on the show, it's a problem. So, yes, side piece was used between the hours of 9 to 12 on Cairo Radio. And when it was said, I said, oh, boy.
Thanks, Mike, for bringing it back up.
That's why I miss Cairo entirely, right? There you go, right there.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Ursula, were you listening when that was said?
Yes. I was like, please, don't bring attention to it.
How did you like my inner Ursula during that time?
No, I loved it. Someone's got to do it.
Coming up next, we take your texts, feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to the G and Ursula Show. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Friday. Happy Fresh Fridays to all of you. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. It is now time to go through your texts, and then we'll get to Ursula's words to live by. Ursula?
And we're going to start with scenarios. The person who wrote in and said, we cashed my son's stimulus check, and he's upset, but he's 24 and doesn't work. He lives at home and plays video games all day. 206 says, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with G. A 24-year-old should not be allowed to sit in his room and play videos all day without contributing. I agree with that, too. That's on the parents. If there is a valid reason why he isn't working, mental health, he should be contributing to the house in other ways, like doing chores. For the love of God, please do not tell me they're still doing his laundry, too. I hope you feel better, G.
Thank you, 206. 253 says, the U.S. Army is hiring. Laugh out loud.
Agree to disagree with our special guest, Tyler Lockett. 206 says, if this football thing doesn't work out for Lockett, he has got a career in marriage counseling. He would have plenty of business from G alone.
206, didn't you just hear there was a nice comment to me and then you follow with that? 425 says, Tyler is right about villains winning. The Empire Strikes Back is the best of the three original Star Wars movies.
We just had Mike Lewis on talking about Amazon crushing the Alabama union effort. 360 says, does every election in the world now have to come with some sort of suspicion attached? This is getting ridiculous.
I mean, if you go to the history books, you want to bring up the suspicion that was attached to that? We found out Monday which counties might go back to phase two. 425 says, Ursula. You mentioned counties should be able to toggle back and forth quickly. This is impossible for restaurants. True. The inventory has a shelf life, and if they open, close every couple weeks, orders are impossible. It's impossible to staff and impossible not to throw out tons of food.
Which is why I just hope we don't go back.
For sure.
My fear is that we are going to go back and forth. I don't want us to go back and forth. 360 says, think about being in a restaurant with masks off with who knows how many non-vaccinated people. Come on. We all know being indoors unmasked isn't safe. How are so many people fooling themselves into thinking it is safe so long as they keep their mask on until they get their food?
Vaccine packs passports. 253. I don't want to get the vaccine because I feel that it hasn't been tested enough. I feel for my safety and I shouldn't have to prove if I've had it or not.
360 says, as an adult, you can choose to not go to the destinations or businesses that would require it.
360 says, how can you think vaccine passports are okay and voter ID isn't?
And 425 is also on that. How can you demand voter ID to exercise a constitutionally protected right, but proof of vaccination for activities not protected under the Constitution isn't okay? Just on the whole voter ID thing. For the record, that's not the part about Georgia's law that I had an issue with.
I just want to make sure we're clear. You never said anything about that.
No.
Did I ever say anything about?
No, we talked about the other things that were put into that law.
Oh, I got it. Gotcha.
But hey. I think other people made issues with voter ID. Neither Gene nor I did.
You're right. Let's get to the mic drop texts of the day. Ursula?
Okay. And this is about Tyler Lockett. When he joined us for Agree to Disagree, and he said there should be more superhero movies where the villain actually wins. This comes from 360. What? The villain should not win. Who wants to watch a movie that ends with the New England Patriots winning on the final play of the game? Hello?
I'm still not over that. I'm still not over that. Let's get to it. Ursula's Words to Live By, brought to you by Pro Club.
I don't know who came up with this, but I like it. People are going to talk about you no matter what you do, so you might as well do whatever brings you joy and live your best life. All I do is ask that you do it with kindness. Have an amazing weekend.
I got a question for you, G. Did Dre's actually use the term side piece on air?
Come on, man!
Gotta let you know, Mike, standing offer. You can be our side piece.
Ursula, are you cringing right now?
Yes, I am.
So hard.
Is buried.
Ursula, 30-some years of news have come down to this. Hey,
thanks.
Happy Friday to you guys. Have an amazing weekend. Just so you guys know, we're celebrating my birthday next week. I get a do-over. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.